I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at me. I've just been so lonely over the last year. I'm raising a child alone. I'm scared. I always thought of myself as a strong and independent person, but the truth is I'm afraid.
Okay, I wondered where that was from, and my producer says that's from Frasier. That is Frasier's ex-wife. Who would have guessed that? And if you're feeling like that, if you're in any situation, whether you're a single parent and doing it alone and trying to look strong and independent and sometimes feeling that way, but deeper down you're really scared, you want to ask yourself, instead of just leaving it in this floating fear, you want to ask yourself, what specifically scares me? Is it that I don't have enough money to raise my kids? And if the answer is no, I have a good income, or you know, my husband pays good child, my ex pays good child support. If it's not that, then it's not money. If it is money, then you say, how can you make that a goal? How can I come up with some more money? How can I get a second job or get a raise maybe in my current job? You know, you try to go into solution mode. If it's that I'm overloaded, there's too much to do with the kids, I'm taking them to jazz, tap, and ballet, or soccer practice, or ice skating lessons, or their tutoring, ask yourself, have you overbooked your kids and yourself? Because you've got to live with a reasonable pace to your life, and many parents make that mistake. So you want to get real specific. What is it that's making me feel so afraid? Is it that I feel like what if something happens to me? What will then happen to my kids? Well, then you have to recognize you're catastrophizing, and that you can have a will if you need that, a backup plan for your kids, which is a very good idea, but you don't want to catastrophize either, and you want to just picture yourself being able to be strong and independent and figure out what needs addressing and get specific about it. I'm Dr. Alan Kenny. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And right before the break, I was talking about a situation where a stepmom is very frustrated with her husband's two kids. They come to visit every on weekends, and he's got a 7-year-old daughter, Becky, and a 14-year-old. And she's wondering, do I even like kids? Well, her name is Holly. Holly, you raised your own son, and my guess is you loved your kids, and you stayed with them for all the years that they were growing up without dating. You went for 9 years without remarrying. Maybe you did date occasionally, but you didn't remarry because you didn't want to confuse their lives. So obviously you value kids, but maybe you burnt out. Maybe you don't want to take on somebody else's children, and it doesn't feel like they're your kids. And you're not on the same page with discipline. As a single mom, you call all the shots. But as in a partnership, any mom and dad getting together, you know, having kids for the first time, they need to come up with a parenting style that works for both of them. And typically that's not what happens. They each end up, one ends up being the heavy, one ends up being the softy, and then they waltz through their child's developmental years with tension, and the kids play one against the other and are confused, and nothing feels fair for anyone. It's a lose-lose-lose proposition. So if you've got these two kids currently in your life, you want to ask yourself, is this a relationship breaker? Is it causing enough tension, not only on the weekends when the kids are there, but during the week, that you realize you made a mistake? You did not want the package deal. You may love Scott, but not the kids. If that's the case, you want to get some therapy for yourself. I would not make a knee-jerk decision, and to figure out if there's any way that you can connect with the kids and see them more as your value, or at least figure out a way to work through the discipline problems with the kids. Let's look at it from Scott's point of view now. Again, I have to freewheel here because I don't know Scott. But let's assume that Scott says to the kids, it's 9 o'clock, it's bedtime, guys, and they want to stay up till 10 o'clock. And at the table, he's saying, we prefer you don't get any phone calls from your friends while you're sitting at the table eating with us. And their phone rings, and, oh, it's a boyfriend, you got to get that phone call. And he says, okay, get the phone call. And you want an interruption-free meal, so you're frustrated with him. You want them to go to bed when they're supposed to go to bed, and you want a frustration-free meal. Well, he may look at his kids and say, you know, I don't get to be with them every day during the week. I only get them on weekends. And I don't want it to be a heavy situation. I value their happiness, their ability to get a phone call or to stay up till 10 o'clock more than I value the rigidity, the parenting. Now, parents can go overboard with that and buy their kids lots of gifts to try to make up for the guilt. Kids see right through that, and that's a bad pattern. But if he's really valuing them, then you need to be able to see that. See, imagine yourself being Scott's child. Would you rather have you for a parent or Scott for a parent? So you want to look at it from the kid's perspective. It's really hard to deal with a stepmother, especially if you're unhappy that mom and dad have divorced. So try to see it from all perspectives, Holly, and that may help you out. So there are books on my website that you can get, Helping Your Kids Through the Divorce, that may help you see the world through the kid's point of view. And that's by Florence Bienenfeld. My website's drkenner.com. And, of course, the book I recommended earlier, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. Here's a very quick one. Dear Dr. Kenner, my religion strongly believes in no sex before marriage. Having your virginity is vital. I play sports, and I think I tore my hymen. In my culture, that means that I've lost my virginity. I cannot afford that stigma. What can I do? I can't afford this humiliation. What opportunities will I have? And it's unsigned. Look at what this religion's doing. An irrational moral code, which this religion is, causes so much unearned guilt, so much unnecessary pain. So if you were living more rationally, you would never damn yourself for breaking your hymen during sports. In fact, if you found someone loving and you're a really responsible, let's say 18-year-old or 19-year-old or 20-year-old, and you're not married, or 24-year-old or 35-year-old, and you want to have a romantic relationship with that person before you're married, in a rational code, as long as you both take precautions, and there's no problem with that. It's not a guilt issue. In fact, it's a source of tremendous value, reward, a romantic relationship, and you're seeing whether you're a good match for a lifetime. So many religions set up many irrational codes such as this. They always hit on sex. They make sex such a source of unearned guilt. Look at what they do to priests. I mean, it's so criminal. I mean, priests do it to themselves, obviously, by choosing that. But to not be able to have a love affair, what happens if you see a wonderful, beautiful, sexy woman as a priest, or you see someone whose character you admire and you feel yourself getting aroused? What do you have to do with that if you're a priest? I mean, these religions need to be called into question. They're so irrational. So I would never condemn you for playing sports, but you have a major decision to make. You have to decide, whose life is it? Whose mind is it? Is it your life, your values, your happiness, hopefully done rationally, otherwise you'll be unhappy? Or do you have to turn that over to people who set up irrational rules, some religion that tells you to blindly obey it, which means to what? To totally suffocate your own mind and blindly obey. That's what blind obedience is. It's throwing out your own independent judgment, your own values, your own goals. And I would say that you absolutely have a moral right to use your own mind. And you earn self-esteem by using it rationally with the goal not to sacrifice, which most religions also preach, all religions do that, but to achieve your own happiness, your own moral happiness. And that means your goals, your friends, your family that's good to you, your love relationship. And I would highly recommend one movie for you. Mentioned it last time, Bend It Like Beckham. It's just a great movie where one young girl has to decide whether to pursue her passions or whether to go with her religion and her culture. And she has to, the fundamental choice again is to use her own mind or not, and I won't tell you anything more. Coming up, we have Dr. John Lewis, who will talk about the importance of your own psychological independence. And I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. You can always visit my website, drkenner.com.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
The bond with an ideal romantic partner is the most intimate bond you can experience. A business friend might respond to your business expertise, a golf friend to your golfing ability, a socializing friend to your personality. But only a romantic partner is able to know your total self, including not just your body, but also the most intimate aspects of your soul. With a romantic soulmate, you get a mirror of yourself that even a close friend cannot provide. When a partner tells you what he or she appreciates about your character, for example, saying, "I love your warmth and sensuality," or in actions, for example, responding to you emotionally and intellectually, your partner provides you with a unique and priceless psychological mirror.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.